SNI Digital, Innovations in Learning, in association with the Hose Neurosurgery Lab in Baghdad, Iraq, are pleased to present the 22nd SNI and SNI Digital Baghdad Neurosurgery Online Meeting, held on March 23, 2024. The meeting originator and coordinator is Samer Hose of the Universities of Baghdad and Cincinnati. The subject of this meeting is Pediatric Neurosurgery, Global Pediatric Neurosurgery Experience, and Cases from Argentina, Iraq, and Nicaragua. The meeting organizer and moderator is Jorge Lazareff, Emeritus Professor of Pediatric Neurosurgery at the UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles, California. This talk will be on endoscopic surgery for intraventricular craniopharyngiomas. It'll be given by Juan Bosco Gonzalez Torres, who is in pediatric neurosurgery, the Children's Hospital, Hospital Bautista, in Managua, Nicaragua.
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry. It's for me an honor to be here with all of you. I will share with you my little experience regarding the transventricular approach via endoscopic and an option that could be useful in properly select patients. So there are many different ways in which we can address these tumors, talking about the craniopharyngiomas, which will depend on their location, size of the structures involved, and radiological characteristics. So this approach, speaking of the endoscopic pathway, can be carried out with the basic instrument with endoscopic ventriculostomy is performing. And I think it is increasingly common talking about endoscopic. So this is my little casuistic, 12 case, fortunately without the complication that can occur in another approaches. I think because it allows us quick and direct access to the tumor and work within the tumors. About this approach, there is already enough information. Particularly, I started with the first patient, not with the intention of addressing the tumor, but to perform or an ETV, but when I see the tumor, I realized that due to the characteristic of the tumor, I could address it. It will already introduce you that first surgery. This approach was the subject of the presentation at the annual ASPN meeting in 2016. Also, there are not many cases that can be collected. It is an option that we can have in our arsenal. And if the tumor is predominantly cyst and intraventricular, I think this option is the ideal. This is my first case. This is the images. In the first case, you can see that this part is the cyst part, but the appearance depend on the consistency of the liquid. You can see the tumor in the actual view is very close to the foramen of Monroe. This is my second case. It's a tumor cyst predominantly. This is my first case. I am sorry for the quality of the images. You can see the tumor. This is the foramen of Monroe. the tumor peaking throughout the foramen of Monroe. We started with the coagulation of the surface, trying to gain space through the foramen of Monroe and try to descend to the third ventricle. This is achieved with a lot patients doing coagulation in the surface, shrinking the tumor, gain space, but you can see I don't use any special attachment. Just in this moment of the surgery, I use only coagulator and bipolar, trying to shrink the tumor. So this is the first step, trying to decompression. After I am sure the I have control of bleeding, we can take a biopsy. You can see a little membrane between the tumor and the foramen of Monroe. No, it's a good idea try to moving the tumor, because these adherence are cause many bleedings. So nobody want bleedings in this moment, in any mm-hmm. moment. So the another part of the surgery is inside the tumor. This view is inside the tumor. You can see the characteristic of the tumors, particularly the calcifications. We can open the cyst, the capsule, and aspirate the contents that are commonly dense, oily, and work inside the tumor, and take fragments of it for biopsies. So with patients, we can continue outside the capsule. This is the capsule, and this is the Sylvius aqueduct. And with this, in this moment, we get a good permeabilization of these ventricular systems. So try to coagulate another part, the vascular part, the tumor, avoiding the mobilize the tumor, avoiding the complication with the injuries in hypothalamic regions. This is the principal advantage of this approach. This is the view post-op of the first case. You can see the pre-op, and you can see the calcification part. Particularly, I leave this part because it's inactive biological. So this is the axial view. You can see the persistence of dilatation of the system ventricular, but in the next week disappear, the ventricular side return to normal. So talking about this approach, I have three steps, principal three steps. The first is identifying the tumor, of the characteristic of the tumor, decompressing and taking biopsies, and permeabilization of the ventricular system. We have two options in this sense. You can open the aqueduct, the Sylvius, trying to shrink the tumor, or you can do endoscopic third ventriculostomy, two options for permeabilization. And finally, you can get more part of tumor avoiding the contact with the third ventricle or the neighbor parts. And in conclusion, it is a safe and effective technique to avoid complication common with other techniques. So it's very simple because no, it's necessary a special instrumental or attachments. You can do it with a basic instrument for ETV or further relief or from neurological condition without complication, principal endocrine and complication. And in another sense, avoid the placement of VP shunt or sometimes performing ETV. So in same reports, you will find similar conclusion. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very good. So, Dr. Boss, if I understand correctly, you leave that calcified part of the tumor. You don't touch it, right? You just take care. I mean, it's not just. You take care of the cystic portion or the walls of the cystic portion. And what happens to, what's the follow-up? I mean, a year after doing this the procedure in your 12 cases, does the cyst come back or not? Or what's, what happens to the
Just in two cases, Professor, returned the cyst. And was necessary another surgery by the same way. But and predominantly in another case, and don't return the cyst.
I see. So you actually say of the, you had 14 cases, no? How many cases you had? 14?
12
cases. So of the 12 cases, two cases that the cyst came back and the other 10 cases didn't come back. I mean, amazing. So that portion of the cranial, and clinically, the patients were doing fine. I mean, didn't have endocrine deficit added, nothing like that?
Yeah, the clinical evolution was very good. Very, very good.
Okay, very, very, very interesting, because we like to, you know, we at surgeons like to take it all. I just took it all. It was a huge tumor and I took it out. But so you are showing us the same as our colleagues from Etefleni, some caution and understanding. You don't need to take it all to be a great surgeon. Okay, good. As a such, any of the questions from the audience? Nobody? Any further comment?
Andre or Fidel, do you have any? Do you approach this differently or?
I will. No, it was a question. In our institution, of course, I will give my opinion. I always repeat, in adult population. In adult population, we used to perform a policy like Dr. Lazarev said. We try to remove everything. Little by little, since the last 5 years, we started to do surgery by endoscopic extended approach from the nose. And telling you the truth, I remember having had a patient similar to this, the patient like Dr. Gonzalez showed, with too much calcifications in the cellar and suprasellar areas. And sometimes it's not so easy to remove this calcification through the nose with the endoscopic approach. In our case, we have in the adult population, I had everything you want to speak. I have new deficits in the optic systems. We have sometimes, I remember one patient with a severe affectation of the hypothalamus with a syndrome, postoperative syndrome of the hypothalamus. Of course, I can say almost all of our patients have some electrolytes abnormalities in the sodium in the postoperative period. A lot of our patients remain with insipid diabetes, but of course the quality of life, I can say that maybe 80% of our patients in the adult population can remain with a very acceptable quality of life. I remember two cases one of them, because of some complications, vasospasm and so on, the patient's dead because of this tumor. So craniopharyngiomas is still a very big mass. It's a headache, not only for the patient, also mm-hmm. for the neurosurgeon. But maybe Fidel is here and he can replay, give the, his opinion about the pediatric population.
In pediatrics, we try to do a radical resection, but it's very difficult. But the objective is to do a radical resection.
And Dr. Petre, what's your policy in the children's in El Gutierrez? You are mute. There you are.
Excuse me. My English is not good. Policies. When you have these craniopharyngiomas are very big, no? With the pathology extends to the middle fossa, to the frontal. We have the approach via alta, ¿no es cierto? When the craniopharyngioma is in the cellar or in the axis of the cellar, not lateralized, we may now the transepto nasosphenoidal approach, no, with good results. It's possible to damage the floor of the third ventricle, no? The diabetes insipidus is not 90%. Near 1 week, it's possible that the patient have a lot of endocrinological disturbance, no? Diabetes insipida, abnormal secretion of hormona antidiuretica, it's very complex. Although sometimes we have a total resection, no, but in controls there are recidivas.
Yeah.
O sea, no, nunca nos damos, por más que uno crea que haya sacado todo, nunca lo damos por hecho, porque inclusive sin ver nada, vemos recidivas. Yeah.
I would say for Dr. Petres, he swept into Spanish with his passion, but the thing is that yes, he was saying that in spite of that you believe or you may believe that the tumor that you remove the tumor completely, but it usually there are occasions when the tumor comes back. No, yeah, answering to one of the questions by Abdulaziz Alayaf, he says, what's the recurrence of those tumors? Yes, if you really remove it completely, the recurrence is zero. But as Dr. Petri is saying, if it comes back, it means that you didn't remove it completely, no? And the interesting point with Dr. Gonzalez is that if you leave something undisturbed, at least in some cases, they don't recur, no? I mean,
some cases with the solid component remains not a lot of time when we take only control by the TC or MI, but although the total removal is possible to to La Perspectiva.
In my experience, before going to Dr. Khalili now, in order to tip a movie, in my experience, it's the some of those craniopharyngiomas that I removed post-operatory evidence completely was a tumor that was willing to come out, no? More than the surgeon, because as I said to the at the residency, if you are struggling for more than 3 hours with a craniopharyngioma, stop it. Don't continue. No, there is one moment that the craniopharyngioma, when you find that the plane with the hypothalamus and the capsule, the tumor says, okay, I give up, I'm coming out, and zoop, it comes out. No. And each tumor has its own personality per se, no? But yes, I think that the beauty of Dr. Gonzalez's thing is that within resources that are not perfect, but not limited, but I mean, he works in a very good hospital, Hospital Bautista in Managua, there are still innovative approaches that diminish the clinical consequences for the patient. No? So no further comment. We can go to Dr.
I wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, one, that was a very nice presentation in a very selected series of cases. Obviously, there are different kinds of craniopharyngiomas, and I know you do this differently, but this is a very nice. And the thing I liked about it is what Jorge said. You knew when to stop. You knew when to stop. I think this is probably one of the most difficult tumors in neurosurgery. I used to call it the sucker's tumor, because what it does is it makes you think that you're being able to take it out. And as you progress, you get into deep trouble. And what Jorge said is exactly right. He probably should quit earlier, but here's a case where done beats perfect. We're all perfectionists. But I've seen this for 60 years. People would put isotopes in the cyst and they would do very well. I've seen, you had cited a paper there from New York where he was known to aggressively take the whole tumor out, and it was devastating for the patient. And Andres has mentioned that it's a quality of life. And you mentioned that in the brainstem tumors. So I'm not sure with all the technology we have, and Dr. Shillito, who used to work with Dr. Mattson, did a very nice study, I'm sure you remember this, where he shows the craniopharyngioma invading the brain tissue. It's not necessarily all outside. And that's where you get into trouble in the third ventricle. So I think you have to know when to stop. And I think you're absolutely right, Jorge, and to leave the patient with being functional. And I know there's a great debate in pediatrics about this. But I think what you presented was very reasonable for those kinds of tumors. And I think your discussion was very reasonable. I know that if we talk about papillary craniopharyngiomas, there's some molecular treatments now that are highly successful, but maybe we'll get into that. Okay. Andres, you have any thoughts about that?
No, I completely agree. And the point is, nature is very unfair, because you know craniopharyngioma is a tumor from the pediatric population, and we in the adult population we have less incidence, but we have the possibility of the BRAF mutation. So sometimes we can leave on purpose some portion of the tumor or perform subtotal resection in order to preserve quality of life, and then our neuro-oncologists can do something because of the mutation. But in the pediatric population, there is, of course, you have this beta-catenin mutation, but it's completely different. There is no still a clear indication of medication for this patient. It's like you said, it's a very complicated tumor for pediatric patients.
Yeah. There is one other question for Dr. Gonzalez from Dr. Alwash. He says, what is the site of the Berhold, to put it in? Right side, left side, pre-coronal, post-coronal?
Yes, professor. Yeah. Yes. The axis is the same. If you think to do an endoscopic third ventriculostomy, it's the same. It's exactly the same. The right side precoronal is the same.
Okay. And you aspirate the cyst before trying the resection. You eliminate the water cyst. Yeah.
Exactly. Questions. Yeah.
Okay.
We hope you enjoyed these presentations. The material provided in this program is for informational purposes and is not intended for use as a diagnosis or treatment of a health problem or as a substitute for consulting a licensed medical professional. Please fill out your evaluation of this video to obtain CME credit. This recorded session is available free on snidigital.org. Send your questions or comments to ausman@snidigital.org. This program is supported by the James I. and Carolyn R. Ausman Educational Foundation, owner of SNI and SNI Digital, and by the Waymaster Corporation, producers of the leading gen television series, Silent Majority Speaks, and Role Models, and the Medical News Network. Thank you.